Hello, church. It's good to be back with you again in our study in the book of Psalms. So if you want to take your Bible and turn to Psalm 119, we'll be beginning in verse 81 in just a moment. In many of these Psalms, you've probably noticed, for a large majority of them, it's David who's writing, King David. You will discover, as maybe you have through this study, that David often writes about times in his life when there were trials or tribulations or difficulties. And David writes about how he felt, how God helped him, how God's word ministered to him. And you see a pattern here. And let me just share it with you briefly as we move into this part of the book of Psalms. When David was in these trials and tribulations, now we understand he's a great man of faith by God's own testimony. He was a man after God's own heart. But there are three things we find out about David when we look at the pattern of how he dealt with trials and tribulations in life, which is really what we're going to talk about today when trials of life overwhelm us. How did David deal with those things? Well, number one, we discover, that he didn't like it. I find that encouraging because sometimes we think as a Christian, well, you know, God loves me and I love the Lord, and so everything that comes along in life is okay. It's part of God's plan. Well, it is okay, and it is part of God's plan that he allows for us, but nowhere do we find David enjoyed persecution. Nowhere do we find that David enjoyed chastening. He didn't enjoy when evil men lied about him or impugned his character or the troubled times of life. David didn't enjoy losing loved ones. He didn't enjoy sickness. He didn't enjoy the limitations of life as we get older. David didn't enjoy any of those things. So very likely neither will we enjoy them in this life. However, even as David went through these things, the second thing we find is that he always asked God for help. He would embrace some difficulty in his life. He would come to some trouble in his life. But he would make his request known to God, and he would ask God to intervene in that situation. And thirdly, as David did not enjoy some of the trials and tribulations that came to his life, he always asked God for help. And thirdly, you find that his faith never wavered. So he went through the troubles, the valleys of life, if you will. Then he asked God for help when in those valleys, when in difficulties. But he never wavered in his faith. He never doubted that God loved him. He never doubted that God would be faithful. He never doubted God's word. In other words, his faith remained strong even in those times of trouble because it was grounded in God's word, and it was grounded in the fact that he knew God loved him. Now, I thought about that pattern that we find in David. He didn't enjoy it. He always took his request to God, and then he remained faithful. Well, we might apply that pattern to the circumstances we find ourselves in today. For instance, COVID-19. This pandemic has for most of us, disrupted all of life. It has disrupted our corporate worship at church. We're doing much of our Bible teaching and much of our preaching now via internet and virtual means. And let me encourage you, by the way, if you go to the church's website at oakleafbaptist.org, you can find there the live stream button. You click on that, and there are four different venues, if you will. You can watch the sermons. You can see them on YouTube. You can see them on live stream. You can see them on various sources. So avail yourself of that. But in any case, this COVID-19 has disrupted us. And I think about David, and I think about our response to tribulation in life, particularly this time in life. I would suggest none of us enjoy having our social liberties restricted. None of us enjoy the danger associated with this pandemic. None of us enjoy the fact that that people are dying. I mean, I can't imagine, but there's tens of thousands of people as of today. We're over 80,000 people have died because of this virus that's going around, and the projections are that even more will die. So none of us like it. None of us enjoy the fact that we're dealing with this thing right now. But like David, we take our cares to God. we take our needs and our hurts and our desires to God, and as Jesus said, we let our requests be made known to God. And so we pray. Now, I don't mind telling you, I pray every day that God would remove this thing from the land, that God would remove it from the world, that God would be merciful and remove it. He can. It would be an instant. God could speak it, and it would go away. But I also know that if God chooses to allow us, as with David's life, to go through a tribulation, to go through a trial, go through a trouble, that if God doesn't deliver us out of it, which we ask for, that God will walk with us through it. So even as we, as his children, live through this time, this strange time, and in some cases very difficult. Some people have lost their jobs. Some people have lost their income. They've lost their ability to do life as we normally would expect it. That's difficult and causes great stress and anxiety. God promises to not leave us in that stress and anxiety by ourselves, that we trust him and that God will help us meet our needs, whatever it is we need, as we trust him. And then thirdly, as David was faithful to God, I encourage us to do the same. We remain strong in our faith. No matter what God allows to come in this world, he's still sovereign. He's still Lord. And so I want to encourage you today, as we look at what David says about his trials and tribulations, I want to encourage you, no matter what this thing has brought into your life, no matter what difficulty it's brought into your life, don't blame God for it, and don't turn away from God. In fact, I would encourage you to do this. Look for the blessings in your life that God's brought because of this thing. Let me give you a couple that I thought of as we move into this text. I have had the ability, if you will, or been forced by this thing to work at home a lot. And being with my family more, I spend more time now with them than I was spending previous to this virus. And that's a blessing. I mean, it is a blessing to spend more time with them and have more family time together. We cook out a lot now. Just last night, we cooked burgers and hot dogs on the grill and ate hamburgers and hot dogs. And Sherry said to me, she said, "Isn't it, you know, when you cook out, it just feels good." And we set out on an outside table and ate in the backyard. It was wonderful. And then think about it for a moment. If you live here in North Florida, now you may be watching this video and live somewhere else, but in North Florida here, in the last month to 6 weeks, the weather has been as perfect as you could ask for. The temperatures during the day, the humidity has been low. And we've sat outside and ate most of our meals sitting outside under a screened-in porch. So God can bring good from a difficult situation, and God is bringing good. The gospel still being preached and the Bible still being taught, as you can see from these videos. So even in the midst of this, let's be like David. We don't enjoy it. We take our requests to God. We ask him to remove it, but at the same time, we trust him, and we know that his will is perfect and that God will be glorified in it no matter what. So be encouraged in that. Now let's see what David had to say about his tribulations and his trials. Look at verses 81 and 82, and David talks about his situation. We don't know exactly what the situation was, but notice what he says about it. He said, "My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word." He said, "My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me?" What David's saying in those two verses is that he's eager for God to intervene. Now, I know that feeling, and I'm sure you do too. There have been times in my life when situations were going, man, I was eager for God to get in there. I went, "God, anytime now, God, you need to do something." And so David said here, he said, number one, "Lord, I'm eager for salvation. I'm eager for deliverance from this thing," whatever this tribulation was in his life. And we can relate to that. When we're in a time of trouble, we want God to remove it. As I said, I pray for that every day with COVID-19 and with the situations we're going through now. I pray for that for people in our church who are suffering and people that I know who are suffering because of this situation that we're in now. And we want God to deliver us from it, and we ask God to deliver us from it. However, as God does what he chooses to do before he's sovereign, and he knows best, the other thing David's praying for here, which we need to pray for, is, "God, I need you to deliver me from my own doubts and fears." My own doubts and fears. Now think about it. In our humanity, it's easy for us to be anxious. In our humanity, in our weakness, it's easy for us to be afraid. No matter how, listen, we can be great men and women of faith. Man, I trust God no matter what. But in a moment of anxiety, in a moment of facing a difficulty, or in a time of facing difficulty, it's easy for us to doubt. It's easy for doubts to creep into our minds. It's easy for us to, no matter how much we know, it's easy for us to become afraid. And so David said, Lord, deliver me from my own fears. Deliver me from my own weaknesses, my own doubts. And let me illustrate it with a great man of faith in the Bible to show us how easy it is for us to doubt. There was a man named John the Baptist. Now, Jesus said of John the Baptist, think about this. Jesus said of John the Baptist, never would there be born a man of a woman greater before or after John the Baptist. So he's the greatest. Never had one been born. John the Baptist was the forerunner of the Messiah. He was the last of the Old Testament prophets, introducing Jesus in the New Testament and the grace in the church age. Jesus said, the greatest man. But John was arrested by Herod and put in prison because John preached the truth, and Herod and his mistress were offended. And they put John in jail, and John was pretty sure he was going to be executed. And he sent two of his men, John did, to ask Jesus a question. In Matthew 11, verses 2 and 3, listen to what John said. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to him, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Now, here's what John asked. While John's in prison, and he's pretty sure he's going to be executed, he began to think through this thing and have doubts. And he said to two of his men, he said, go ask Jesus, are you the one we're looking for? Are you the one who was to come? Are you the Messiah? Are you the promised one? Now, here's this great man of faith, this great man that Jesus, matter of fact, Jesus went to John and was baptized by him. And John goes, hey, are you the one we're really looking for? Why would John ask that question? Because in a moment of great tribulation, John had some doubts creep in, and he wanted to know for sure. Jesus sent back word and said, you tell John the things that you see and the miracles that you see and the teaching that you hear. And John was assured that Jesus is the Messiah and was the Messiah for him in that day. So it's easy for us to doubt. And David said, Lord, help me in my doubts and fears today. Let me encourage you, as we face these days that we live in, don't doubt God. Don't be afraid. God is sovereign, he's in control, and let us be encouraged. Now, David said here that he found his assurance from God's word. If you notice those first two verses in 81 and 82, he said, God, it's in your word that I'm searching. It's in your word that I'm holding on to. Now, think about that for a minute. In our day when we're troubled, we go to God's word for comfort. What is it about God's word that comforts us? It's his promises. It's the fact that we read it, and here's how it works. The Holy Spirit, because it's a living, breathing word of God, the Holy Spirit takes it and applies it to our hearts. And when the Holy Spirit applies it to our hearts, he comforts us. The Holy Spirit's the one who comforts us. He brings peace, and he brings encouragement from the word. So in times of trouble, one of the things we could do in this time of COVID-19 and the extra time we might have when we can't be out in a social setting is we can spend more time reading the Bible. We can spend more time studying and understanding God's word, and I pray that you would do that and that God would comfort you in that process. Now, David then begins to talk about the severity of this situation that he was in. And again, we don't know what this affliction was. We don't know what period of time in his life, but this thing was really breaking his heart because the enemy was after him. And he says in verse 83, listen to this, for I have become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. Now he uses an analogy here that you may or may not be familiar with. Wineskin in smoke, what does that mean? Well, they would take these wineskins in that day that they would put liquid in. It could be water, it could be wine, it was called a wineskin. And they would take this hide and it would hang it up over a fire in the smoke, and the heat and the smoke would toughen the hide, toughen the leather or the skin, and make it rigid and make it rough so that it wouldn't leak, so that it wouldn't come apart. And so David said of his persecution, he said, man, I feel like one of those wineskin bottles hanging over the fire. That's how hot this persecution is. He said, that's how I feel about it. Now, he says two things in particular by that analogy. Number one, he says, my suffering is severe. This persecution is difficult. It isn't just a light thing, a discomfort that I'm going through. David said, it's like being hung over a fire. He said, it's like being hung over a flame and the heat is intense. And he said, this suffering that I'm in, God, is terrible. It's hard. And maybe you feel like that in your life. Maybe there's a situation like that. And then he said, not only is it severe, but he said, it's prolonged. He said, I'm in it and I'm in this fire for a long time. And it doesn't seem like I'm getting out anytime soon. And maybe we feel like that today. Maybe we think, Lord, this situation that we're in society with this disease, with this infection, this virus, it could be next year before they have an antivirus or an antidote or some kind of thing to help us through it. And when we might think, Lord, how long is this going to go on? What about school in the fall? And so we might say the same thing to God, Lord, this difficulty is hard. It's intense and it's prolonged. It seems like a long time. Now, you know, some of our persecutions could be that way. Some of our trials in life, they're intense, they're lengthy. And we ask God for deliverance. But listen to what James said about it. James said that these trials and tribulations can actually be good for us. Now listen to what he said in James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. He said, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now that's interesting. James said, count it all joy. Can we take joy in this time of pandemic? Can we take joy? Well, we don't joy in the damage brought by it. We don't joy in the difficulty brought by it because, as I point out, David wasn't happy being in persecution. But why does James say take joy in the trials? Well, here's why. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, stick-to-itness produces endurance. He said this tribulation, this trial, helps us grow in our faith, makes us stronger. Because let patience have its perfect work, James said, that you may be perfect or mature and complete and lacking nothing. Tribulation, believe it or not, moves us to spiritual maturity. It moves us to spiritual growth. It moves us to spiritual exercise. James said, take joy. Be happy that God would sift us to remove impurities, to purify our lives. Listen, I'll tell you one thing trials and tribulations do. If we have sin in our life and we have weaknesses in areas of life that the flesh is indulging in, these things refocus us spiritually and will draw us away from sin and draw us many times away from selfishness and from fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Because why? We're under trial now. We're under the fire. We're hanging in the smoke and it's long, and so we begin to seek God. And James said, take joy. Take joy when God does that to us. So again, I suggest that we prayerfully look for the good that God's doing, the good that we can do as Christians, the sharing opportunity we have. Listen, I encourage you again, tell everybody you know, oakleafbaptist.org. That's the website, oakleafbaptist.org. Send them there. Tell them to watch the messages. You can get somebody to watch a video, particularly in this generation, who will never darken the door of a church. Use this opportunity to tell your neighbors and friends, hey, even if you don't watch the live stream on Sunday morning, invite them to watch it at 11 o'clock. Go watch the videos. They're all archived there. Have them go watch them, and you help them do that. Now, David asked an important question here. In the midst of trial and tribulation, what's one of the main questions we ask? Lord, how long? How long do I have to do this? How long is this pain and suffering? Listen to what David said in verse 84. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? Now we get a little inkling, a little revealing here of some of the trouble he was in. Somebody's persecuting him. But David asked first, he said, Lord, how long is this going to last? How long is this going to last? Because I'll tell you, when I pray, and I don't know about you, when I pray and I ask God for deliverance, you know when I want it? I want it now. When I pray and ask for deliverance from a tribulation, I want it now. I want it today. I want God to work. But he doesn't always do that. And David said to God, Lord, how long? What's the season here? How long do I have to endure this? Now, sometimes, listen, here's an answer that we're not going to like. Listen, pay attention right here. Sometimes we pray for deliverance from a situation in life, and God said, no, you're going to have to deal with that from now on. Well, that's hard, isn't it? That's difficult, because God may say, life as you knew it is over. It's not going to be that way anymore. This is life now, and you have to trust me. God wants us to trust him. David said, Lord, how long do I have to endure this? I want deliverance right away. David wants deliverance right away, but it doesn't always come. Let me give you an illustration. The Apostle Paul, great man of God, had what's called a thorn in the flesh, what he called a thorn in the flesh. Now, we don't know what it was, but Paul asked God to remove it. Matter of fact, I want to read you the passage. Listen to this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 7, listen to this. Paul said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I exalt or be exalted above measure." Now, what Paul said there is, because God's given me all this revelation, God gave Paul direct revelation to write in the New Testament, inspired scripture. Paul said, "Lest I should be exalted with pride or be lifted up in my own mind, God gave me something to keep me humble, a thorn in the flesh." Now listen to what he said in verse 8. "Now concerning this thing," Paul said, "I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me." So Paul said, three times I pleaded with God. He said, I prayed, said, "God, take this thorn out of my life. Take this sickness, this physical limitation, whatever it was, a persecution, a buffet of Satan." He asked God to take it away from him three times. Listen to this. Verse 9, Paul said, "And he," God, "said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly," Paul said, "I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Verse 10, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities," same thing James said, "in reproaches and needs and persecutions and distress for Christ's sake, for I am weak, then I am strong." You know what Paul said? He said, "Ask God three times to remove this prolonged tribulation or trial from my life, this thorn in the flesh." He said, I pleaded with God three times. And plead is a strong word. He pleaded with God. And God said, "I'm not going to remove it. My grace is sufficient for you." You know what? Sometimes that might be God's answer to us. God might say, "I'm not going to remove that thing in your life." He said, "But my grace is sufficient for you." That means that whatever God allows to be in our life, whatever difficulty, whatever trial, whatever tribulation might come, God's grace is sufficient. And Paul said, then I will gladly rejoice in that tribulation because God gave it to me for a purpose. Well, what an encouragement to us today, isn't that? What an encouragement that we can live through these times. Now, the last thing David asked for here in that verse was, when am I going to get justice? He said, "Lord, when are you going to execute judgment on those who persecute me?" Now, what David was saying is he wasn't asking for revenge. What he was saying is, "God, when are you going to deal with this injustice? God, you know my integrity. They're impugning my integrity. They lie about me," whatever the situation was. And David said, "Lord, when are you going to make this thing right? When are you going to bring justice and truth?" Now listen, I pray about that all the time because in this world, there's great wickedness. In this world, Satan brings lies and impugns the character of God, attacks the Bible and attacks the church. And I pray, Lord Jesus, I pray for Jesus to come every day. I pray for him to rapture the church. I pray for the kingdom of Christ to be in this world. Why? Because Jesus is the only one who can bring righteousness to this world. And so I pray for him to do that. Now, when God does it, that's his business. But that's what I pray for. David was asking the same thing. God, when are you going to make this right? Now, the last thing David said here is he described this enemy that was persecuting him. And I want to look at that as we close. Look at verses 85 to 87 as he describes these people, this group of men who were making his life so difficult. He said, "The proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law." He said, "All your commandments are faithful, God. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. They almost made an end of me on earth, but I did not forsake your precepts." Now here's what David said. He said, "Lord," he said, they're crafty and they're full of malice. And they seek to impugn my character and then impugn your name. He said, "God, they've dug pits for me. They've dug traps for me." Listen, the world is like that, and Satan is like that. They will attack Christians, and they will attack us for our faith, and they'll seek to impugn our faith and what we believe. And David cried out to God about that. And he said, "Lord, they're proud men." Now, we know pride from our previous studies is connected to arrogance and men who reject God. And David said, "They're proud." He said, "God, and they're boastful against you. When are you going to bring justice?" And then David said, "Lord, they almost got me. They almost got me. Lord, they almost overwhelmed me. But I trusted you, God. My faith is in you," and they didn't win today. Let me close with these thoughts. Trials and tribulations in life. Remember, David didn't like it. no more than we do. David took his request to God, made his petitions known. We should do the same. But then David never wavered in his trust of God. He never wavered in his faith of God. So let me encourage you to do the same. Let me encourage us to do the same. In the face of COVID-19, in the face of trials and tribulations today, God is still on his throne. Jesus is still Lord. He's still sovereign. God still loves his church, and he still loves you. So let me encourage you today. Now, if you're with us or you've checked in on this video and watched it today, listen, the Bible says that we all need to be forgiven of our sin. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen, dear friend, every human being in this world is a sinner before God. We've broken God's laws. Now, the penalty of sin is death. If the wages of sin is death, that means if we die in our sin, we are separated from God forever in a place of eternal punishment we call hell, the eternal lake of fire. But the good news is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus will forgive your sins if you ask him. If you confess with a heart that's sorry for your sin, a repentant heart, God will forgive all your sin right now, and he'll give you eternal life. Would you pray to receive Christ today? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word, the encouragement from King David in the face of trial and tribulation. Give us strength, Lord. I do pray, God, that you would remove this pandemic, that, God, you would heal the land. And, Lord, restore the land, restore your people, God. May we gather again to worship corporately our great God, you. I pray, God, now if there's a man or a woman, a person who's heard this video who is without Christ, Lord, I pray right now they would say, God, I'm sorry for my sin. That, God, they would pray and say, God, I ask with all faith in Jesus Christ that you would forgive my sin and save my soul right now. God, you'll save all who will ask you. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.